big, wonderful God. So stand to your feet this morning and let's open up this great, big, wonderful Bible.
Amen.
And let's hear what thus saith the Lord this morning.
All right.
I want you to turn to the second chapter of the book of James.
All right.
James chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 14 through 18. Oh, let's just read 14 through 20. James 2, 14 through 20. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Yes, sir.
Thou believest there is one God, and thou believest well. The devils also believe that, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Yeah.
Shall we pray? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time around your word this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. But most of all, we thank you for the presence of the Lord that's in this house right now.
Yeah.
Father, fill every person in this room right now with your spirit. Give us a mind to understand and a heart to receive the things that you have for us today, Lord. Move Kelby out of the way and preach your word this morning. Tell me. Speak to your people. Reach your people this morning in a mighty, powerful, and unique way. And we will give you all praise, all honor, and all glory, now and forever. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. To Pastor Barnwell and Pastor Gray and Minister Barnwell and Minister Davis and to all that are in the house this morning, especially our young believers that ushered us into the presence of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Good morning and praise the Lord. Raise your hand if you know who Coach Phil Jackson is. Anybody know who Phil Jackson is? Phil Jackson is the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And he's won 13 NBA championships. That's more than anybody in the history of the NBA.
All right now.
However, do you realize only two of those championships came during his playing days? The other 11 titles came when he was a head coach. He achieved his greatest success, cemented his legacy, and made his greatest contribution to the sport when his playing days were over. He has coached some of the greatest players in the history of the NBA, including Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal. Don't worry, this is going to make sense to me. He led Michael, Kobe, and Shaq to their first NBA title. They had zero championships before Phil Jackson came along and began coaching them. As talented as each one of these superstars were, they did not achieve the ultimate success in their profession until they had the privilege of being coached by Phil Jackson. I found that interesting. And I bring it up because I related to my mom as we were having a discussion the other day. You know, every so often, my mother gets discouraged about how she's grown older and she can't get around like she used to. And she talks about how she and others here, they used to so actively serve and contribute to the church. But now as they've gotten older, it seems like if they don't have an avenue through which they can continue to contribute. She says, we're all old, and we can't do anything anymore. Can I tell y'all a secret about my mother? Now, don't tell her. Please don't tell her. Because if she finds out, I'm going to be in trouble. My mama wrong. She is as wrong as she can be. And here's why. I believe that old age and physical limitations actually qualify them and actually qualify her and others like her to contribute in a much more meaning capacity than they could when they were younger and more physically capable. They can still render great service and still make a difference. See, as soldiers in the battlefield fighting for our Lord, I think we tend to forget that in any great army, the wisest, most experienced soldiers are the ones that have been fighting the longest. They're battle-tested. They've been through the wars. They've seen just about everything. And although they have wounds and injuries and physical limitations that keep them off the front line, they have the knowledge, the experience, and the wisdom to train all the young, up-and-coming soldiers and teach us how to overcome all the tricks of the enemy. Just like Phil Jackson, the greatest contribution comes when they step off the playing field and into the role of coaching you and I. See, passing on their wisdom and their experience gives them the opportunity to teach us how to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. There's an old Chinese saying that says, one conversation with a wise man is better than 10 years of study. I believe that. Now, study is important. We need to study because we need to learn how to better serve God. But who better to learn from than these old wise saints in our midst that have already gone down the same road that you and I have yet to travel? And as we travel down this road, there's some things that we need to be mindful of if you and I are going to make a difference in the world today. And the first thing we need to be mindful of is we must learn to serve. We must learn to serve. See, while Jordan and Kobe and Shaq had a Hall of Fame coach that taught them how to use their God-given talent to excel, we've got our own Hall of Fame coaches right here in our midst. We do. And they're lessons that they have to teach us. In fact, they have a mandate from God to teach us, and we have a mandate from God to accept that teaching from them. Mother Snead, at 90 years old, has plenty she can teach us about longevity. We've got kids dying before they reach their 18th birthday. There's a great deal that she can do to teach and mentor our youth about making wise decisions so they stop going to the graveyard before they get to go to graduation. Mother Barnwell has a whole lot that she can teach us about perseverance. She has dealt with unimaginable circumstances day after day after day for 10 long years. So whenever we feel like giving up, we ought to just have a conversation with her so she can teach us, just like the song says, how to hold on just a little while longer. Somebody woke up this morning and they didn't come to church because they woke up, they looked in their closet, they didn't see anything that they wanted to wear. However, Mother Barnwell woke up this morning and she didn't see anything. And the main thing she didn't see is a reason to use that as an excuse for not coming out to the house of the Lord to give praise to the God that kept her day after day for 87 long years. Brother and Sister Blackwell have a whole lot to teach us about faith and dedication and healing. Why is it they can sometimes spend Monday through Friday in the hospital, but be at that door on Sunday morning greeting people with a smile on their face as if they didn't have a problem in the world. When our family was going through an ambulance, we saw how Sister Bowie and Sister West, they didn't have just one special needs child, they had two to handle. And we saw how that didn't cause them to be bitter, how they didn't use that as an excuse, and they still remain two of the most faithful contributing members of this church. They didn't wallow in self-pity. They didn't say, woe is me, but they kept on serving the Lord. When you get like you're going through something that's completely unfair, have a little talk with them and learn what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. And everything, give thanks to the Lord. But see, the list doesn't just stop with them. There are a whole lot of people right here in this room right now that can teach us about how to cope and overcome the challenges of life. We've got our own Hall of Fame coaches right here at Lily Baptist Church that have made a difference in our lives, and we need to acknowledge that and accept their worth and their wisdom. So how dare anybody, including them, say they still can't make a contribution to God's kingdom? But in order for us to continue to make a difference, not only must we learn to serve, we must yearn to serve. Service to God and service to others is the thing that ought to drive us and motivate us to get out of bed every morning. There is work to do. And the only way that work is going to be done is through us. God blesses people through other people. See, too many are sitting around not actively serving in any capacity. Too many are just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back and make it all better. But we better understand that before Jesus comes back to us, he's got to come back through us. Before Jesus comes back for the church, he's coming back through the church. The message of hope and salvation that you and I have to spread is only going to happen through us. We can have all the faith in the world. But if we're not putting that faith into action, that faith is worthless. Our text clearly tells us that faith needs supporting works or action behind it, because faith plus nothing equals nothing. And this is not preaching a message of salvation based on works, because we can't work to obtain our salvation. But once we obtain our salvation, we will work. Our faith and our work go hand in hand. We don't glorify God in any kind of way by being lazy and self-centered. We have to recognize the needs of others and address those needs in tangible and concrete ways. Because that's what Jesus did when he was here. When Jesus preached and taught, the Bible always talks about how he attracted large crowds, said multitudes. Why did he attract multitudes? Because he always focused on meeting the needs of others. When Jesus encountered people, often the first question he would ask them is, what can I do for you? And that's the attitude of a servant. Because if we truly intend to emulate Christ and impact people the way that he did, we too must have the attitude and the yearning of a servant. Our text shows us that someone who's homeless or naked or hungry, they don't care how good our choir is. They don't care how much money we raise. They don't care how charismatic the preacher is. Because in order to help meet somebody's spiritual needs, most of the time you have to help meet a physical need. And that's how we go about making the world a better place. Verse 14 of our text teaches us that our faith in God ought to benefit somebody else. because we have a relationship with the Most High God. The people that we interact with on a daily basis ought to somehow profit or benefit because of our faith in God.
Right.
It should be a blessing to be around God's children.
Yeah.
That's why verse 15 and 16 of our text show we must do more than simply sympathize and feel sorry for those in need and hope somebody else does something to fix it. No, 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 that's our job. When someone comes to us in need, we must be the ones to address those needs.
Yes.
That's why in order for us to make a difference in the world, we must learn to serve, we must yearn to serve, and we must adjourn to serve.
Right.
See, at the top of our bulletins every Sunday morning, you see the word enter to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we can do this morning.
Right.
But the words at the bottom of the bulletin are equally important.
Yeah.
Those words say, depart to serve.
All right, now.
That's exactly what we're supposed to do
when
we leave this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just can't think that we're only supposed to serve God when we're in here. There's 168 hours in every week. We might spend two of them in here. What are we doing with the other 166? God has a calling on the life of everyone who's born here.
Yes, sir.
And the moment that we accepted the gift of salvation, God called us, all of us, into ministry. Ministry is simply demonstrating God's love by serving others in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that's what ministry is. Ministry is more than a position. It's more than a title. It's an attitude. It's action. If you are born again, you are called into ministry, which is just another way of saying you're called into service.
Yeah.
Now, there are some people who have a legitimate excuse for not serving in God's kingdom.
Mm.
You know who they are? They're the people who aren't a part of it. The only people with a legitimate excuse of not serving in God's kingdom are the people who are not a part of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
If you're born again, you have no excuse for failing to serve in some capacity. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too sick. You're not too busy, you're not even too blind to do something for the Lord. We're called to make the world a better place. And as we adjourn this morning, we're going to offer you four invitations in a few minutes to see if you can make the world a better place. The first invitation we're going to offer is for you to accept the gift of salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins so he could spend eternity with you.
Yeah.
And you could miss the opportunity to spend it in heaven. But it's so much more than that. He wants you and I to be vehicles through which he could bless the world. If you accept that gift, in a few minutes I'm going to ask you to come down and sit on this right bench so you can come forward and publicly acknowledge your acceptance of that gift. And the second invitation I'm going to offer you is to be a part of this ministry and join this church. We best serve God when we serve in the context of community, being connected to a body of believers. See, the body of believers, they help develop us, they help teach us, they help grow us, and they hold us accountable, enable us to better serve those around us. And if you accept that gift, I'm going to also ask you to come down and sit on this front bench, and we can pray. The third invitation I want to offer you is if you have done the first two already, but for some reason you've fallen away and you need to rededicate your life to Christ. So you may have one time accepted salvation, but for some reason you just walked away. But if you're ready to come back to Jesus and rededicate your life and recommit your life to him, in a few moments I'm also going to ask you to come down so we can pray with you. The last invitation I want to offer today is if you've already accepted Christ and you're already in a church and you already believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you're just not doing all you can do for the kingdom, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to make a difference in the world and serving others. I'm going to give you some connections you can make so you can live out your service in the body of Christ. But before we do that, I want you to reflect on the words of this song. I want you to reflect on this melody that I'm about to play.
Care enough for the living,
Jesus preached his first sermon, he went to the synagogue, and they gave him the book of Isaiah. And he spoke these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is exactly what he has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are supposed to make a difference.
Yes.
You and I are supposed to use our faith to heal the world. The world's not going to get healed unless you and I do it. We are the field representative of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to join that family, I ask you to come forward right now. And we extend that invitation to you. If you are already born again, but you need a body of believers to be connected to, we also extend that invitation to you right now. You can become a member of the Lily Baptist Church right now. If you have fallen away, you used to follow Christ, but you just stopped for whatever reason, we're not going to judge you. We're just going to pray for you. We're going to ask you to also come down and sit at this first bench. The fourth invitation is, if you know that you are not doing all you can to fulfill your ministry in the kingdom of God, you can also come forward. We'll pray with you separately, but we're going to give you tangible things that you can do right now to heal the world. Right now, this church has a drive on for Harvest for Hunger. That's something tangible that you can participate in right now. Before we leave today, we're going to ask that you help make a donation. We have, what, $140, I think?
We have $172
right now. If we can leave out of here today with a $250 check for Harvest for Hunger, I challenge you to make a difference in the world right now. Why is it that only around this time of year we start thinking about other people? We need to do something every day. We want God to bless us every day. We need to be a blessing to somebody every day. You have the opportunity to do that right now. Something tangible, something real. Be a blessing to somebody. Do we have one this morning? Heavenly Father, I did what you told me to do, the way that you told me to do it.
Yes.
And Father, I ask that the seed that's been planted this morning produce the harvest that brings you glory.
Yes.
We ask that the word that you spoke to your people this morning doesn't fall on deaf ears, but that you constantly remind them of it day after day after day until they do the things that are pleasing in your sight.
Yes.
We give you glory and we give you honor for all that you've done. And we thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.